Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
The Salt Path opens in Irish cinemas this week and tells the true story of a couple who lose their home and their livelihood. It's based on the best-selling memoir of Rainer Wynn and her husband Moth, played brilliantly by Gillian Anderson and Jason Isaacs, who join us here this morning. Welcome to you both.
Hi.
Hello.
Now, this lovely movie, it takes us on the hike of a lifetime, really. It's a sort of a romantic hardship sprinkled with a bit of warmth. There's humour in it as well. What exactly drew you to the film?
All of the above.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful love story, but it's also a kind of mystical miracle story because Moth had a condition he was diagnosed with. It came as a surprise to both of them. And they were told he was going to die very soon. They should go home. He should prepare to say goodbye to everyone and sit in his house.
Be careful on the stairs.
Yeah. And what the doctor didn't know is they didn't have a house. They just lost all of their money and their home and their future. So they just started walking on some kind of quest. And miraculously, whether it was love, nature, hardship, endeavor, who knows what, this irreversible condition started to reverse.
It's extraordinary watching that first few moments when your left foot drags along the footpath and we just, our hearts and our worries all go out for these two characters.
Good.
That's exactly what was meant to happen. I mean, it's a funny thing, promoting stories generally, it doesn't feel like this because there's two live people that we've met and spent time with who would describe themselves as ordinary. We find them to be extraordinary, but they certainly did have an extraordinary time, which is so... It's rare that real life stories can be both gripping and as inspiring as theirs. So it's a kind of honor in a way. I don't know about Gillian feels. I feel like it's our job to get out of the way of their story and let the audience know who they are.
And Gillian, we see two parents and two partners and they're racked with worry for anyone really but themselves. Are you a worrier?
Oh, gosh. Am I a worrier? No, I don't think I am a worrier. No, I grew up with parents who really kind of let me be me, and they could have spent their entire lives worrying because I gave them a lot to worry about. But somehow they just let me. They parented with open hands, and I think I've learned a little bit of that from them in terms of how I am with my kids. Because they too do things that I could spend my entire time worrying about, and I don't somehow. And
they do terrifying things.
They do terrifying things, yes. But no, I don't. But this is very different. I mean, what Ray and Moth went through is quite an extraordinary and unusual situation. And one can only imagine if you have children, what that must be like to be letting them go into the world, but not be able to actually have a place to come back to in the interim moments, and how much that the nest represents parenthood and what you're able to give your kids and offer your kids as respite from the outside world and the travails that they have ahead of them. So to not even have that, it makes one question what good is one as a parent if you can't even offer that?
And the irony is that they got into this trouble, losing their house and losing all their money and losing the future they're preparing for their kids, because they were humble farmers with a little Airbnb from their barn. Yeah. And they had invested with a very close friend of Moth's who they trusted, in order to provide a better future for their kids, they thought, and that's how they lost everything. They actually had to call their kids who were at college and say, you can't come home, we don't have one anymore, but tell us one thing to save from your room. We haven't got room to take all of your stuff. Just give us one possession to save. We've met their kids and they're remarkable. Now they're adults, but they're remarkable people. In fact, it was Ray and Moth's daughter who first read the memoir she wrote. She wrote it just for Moth, for a birthday present.
Yeah.
And said, you should give this to a publisher, Mum. And of course, it and her subsequent books have sold millions of copies.
And here we are with the film. No doubt it was a very difficult shoot, but the characters, they still get to indulge in and enjoy the beauty of the natural landscape around them. And that comes despite the terrible circumstances of their lives. I presume you got to enjoy it too.
Well, I don't know that they were enjoying it for a long time. A lot of it was, it was incredibly cold and they were incredibly hungry.
Yeah.
They encountered amazing kindnesses from people and also a lot of abuse and dismissiveness. And, they learned what it was to be homeless. They look now at homeless people in a very different way. And gradually they became in tune with nature. It wasn't, they're not sentimental. Ray's not sentimental in her book or when you meet her. It was hard, but somehow they found themselves again. They found each other in this walk, but it wasn't, they weren't on a holiday, I think.
And Jason, you physically changed movements through the story. So I presume this made shooting really difficult because you're shooting out of sequence.
Well, you know, that's true. And I would love to go into a long screed about how hard it was for me. But we get to these places, these incredibly difficult, almost mountains to climb. The coast is quite shockingly kind of, I don't know, biblical in some of the sites you see. And I get there and I go, wait a second. I can't do this on my pretend one leg and one arm and with a backpack. And they go, well, Moth did it. And I go, are you serious? And I'd call him sometimes. They go, yeah, I did. And I go, bloody hell. So, yes, it was quite difficult for us. We were up and down hills all the time. But it's hard to complain when you remember what actually Moth and Ray went through in real life.
What he went really through. Did you learn quite a lot?
Have to repeat. Of course, they didn't have to repeat things as often as we did.
Okay. Did meeting these two people, Gillian, what did you learn from them for the role that you decided to play and how you decided to play the character?
Well, I knew of the book beforehand. I'd actually tried to produce it myself and had discovered that it was that it was already in the process of being made, and so it kind of chased it down. And when I actually listened to the audiobook because I spend a lot of time in the car, and I really enjoyed Ray's rhythm in reading it. I felt like I was immersed in their experience in a way that was particularly moving and compelling. And I couldn't get the book out of my head. It really haunted me. And also, it shifted my perception of homelessness and the homeless in a very profound way. And so, you know, when I felt quite a solid take, but I felt because I was inside Ray's head while she was reading it, I think most of my absorption of her, I think, came from that rather than, I know that Jason had a lot of Zooms with them. I ended up having one very long one, but I kind of felt like I already knew her.
So when we met them for the first time, did she surprise you or something? Was she different from how you'd imagined?
Only in that she was much more reserved in person.
Right. Think, yeah, of course.
Than I had expected her to be.
Yeah.
But completely understand, you know, even though, you know, it must be such a bizarre thing, even if it's something that you actually want and are excited by the prospect of, but meeting actors who are playing yourselves and also, you know, trusting that, you know, having to completely let go and trust that it will be handled in the right way when it's such an intimate and, it's
intense experience. Yeah. For everyone.
Really intense experience for them.
And so sharing it when it's written down, you can share much more personal things. You're not having to look someone in the eye and say those things, are you? He's a huge contrast. He's an open book.
Yeah,
he's a very clever man.
He overshares all the time. He held nothing back at all. It was extraordinary meeting him. He's like a slim, more handsome version of Father Christmas. It's impossible not to fall completely in love with him. And he's startlingly handsome and tall with a big shock of white hair and a beard. And just also just laughing all the time, even as he's describing these extraordinary indignities that he has to face with his condition. He just he wants to put you at ease so that you're not uncomfortable. And he's talking about some of the most painful things. Such a lovely man. Not that Ray isn't. She is more guarded.
Irish cinema goers will be delighted to see that your character is reading a Seamus Heaney book throughout.
Sure. Well, he's a book hound. One of the many heartbreaking things for them leaving their home was that he had an extraordinary memory and had a massive library of books. He's like a human encyclopedia. You could call on him at any point, or even without calling on him, venture for facts. It's like a walking Wikipedia. And he had to leave them all behind. And he called his daughter at one point and said, I don't know what to do. He sat in utter despair. She said, what have you got in your hand? And he said, Beowulf. And she went, take it and walk out the library now, Dad. Don't look back.
Wow.
And he carried it all the way around, but he couldn't read for a while and he couldn't remember it. So the scene in the film and in the book where he stands up at an arts festival and starts reading on a crate and gets money was extraordinary, not just because he did that to get them some money, but because up until that point, he was having trouble reading at all.
Wow.
So it was a sign how much his condition was improving.
No, it's a great one for the Irish. And in Ireland, nothing annoys people here quite like when actors try an Irish accent and fail miserably at it. Jason, now you played an Irishman in Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris.
I did.
But you succeeded exceptionally well, glad to say. But also,
well, I lived with Jimmy Nesbitt lived on my couch for a long time.
Because it's a northern accent in Ireland, which is the hardest one to do.
It's very specifically Jimmy, and I probably should have given him half the money.
I literally did a whole day of ADR yesterday doing Northern Irish. I did literally 9 hours. Yes, I'm sure nothing annoys the Irish more than a...
No, you do a very good one. So these were different accents for both of us because they have very specific voices.
They are, yes.
Slightly more, slightly different, although they're from the same place in Staffordshire. They had different parents and then they lived in Wales and they're very unusual accents. We luckily had recordings of both of them and the dialect coach before we started. But it's a very odd accent for my ear, at least, because I was used to, I can do Birmingham, but it's not Birmingham. It shares some vowels with it, but
It's consistent throughout. Gillian, you were referencing, I think, Trespasses, which is the Channel 4 series based on the brilliant novel by Louise Kennedy. You seem very fond of going to Northern Ireland.
I do, yeah. Yeah, no, it was a fantastic, it was a fantastic experience of that. It was nice to see it all coming together yesterday.
And you're very pleased with your accent, which we're now entirely judging you on, despite how much people have loved you for your work to date.
I played Cowpat Keegan in Divorcing Jack at the IMA at one point, and we were shooting in Belfast, and I tried to avoid eye contact with any of the crew the entire time.
By the way, Jason, the role you play in The Salt Path, it has some parallels, doesn't it, with the one you play in The White Lotus in terms of downfall?
It does, funny enough, yeah. In that it's someone who loses everything, loses all of their money and all of their status and reputation. But Moth being an extraordinarily humble and generous human being, their reactions to it are very different, yeah.
You must be astonished that series has been the most talked about TV show in the world for... It's still going, even though it's wrapped.
It was odd. I mean, I knew he's a wonderful writer and I'd like, you know, the other series are magnificent, but I've been inside the bubble, to be fair, so I'm sure my view is biased, but we've been travelling all over the world for 8 weeks, which is the biggest publicity tour I've ever done, bigger than Harry Potter. It every single week, every episode, all of the cast seemed to be on every magazine and talk show. And there was insatiable, infinite interest to be able to talk about it. I don't really understand it, but it's over now, thank God, because not many new things come along as an actor at my age, and that was an odd experience to have people talking about it so much. I like telling the stories and not being the story or even talking about it, because Mike White told the story better than any of us actors did.
Was it a horrible experience?
Oh, no, not at all. It's lovely to be in something that's... I guess I'm not used to being in things that are that successful. Yeah. Most things aren't. So it just felt a bit odd. It was like having 40 puddings every day, you know. Okay. Felt all right, but a bit uncomfortable.
I think Timothy Ratliff could perhaps have done with Ray or Gillian to help him through his troubles in Thailand, but...
I'm not sure anybody could have helped her. Well, you know what? Funny enough, so just dwelling on it for 2 seconds, Tim got the thing that he wanted least of all, and all the characters wanted least of all. Mm-hmm. Many characters go to Thailand for some version of spiritual enlightenment.
Yeah.
Even the rich ones go there to rent it for a day or two at a time. He had no interest in it at all, and Mike White, being a brilliant writer that he is, he gave him a massive Damascene conversion, really, to embody the very principles of Buddhism.
It was
his essential core. You're right, that's what Moth and Ray were stripped to, and you see what people made of at that point. He becomes one with the water. He's thrilled in some way to embrace his fate and surrender to that and let go of the status he's been obsessed with all his life. Moth and Ray were not obsessed with status. Maybe it's why it came naturally to them to be with each other. I texted both of them yesterday. I spoke to them yesterday.
Really?
And she said laughter got us through. But I think she's missing out something else. Laughter and love got them through, which is something that, you know, in The White Lotus, Victoria and I are a long way from each other. But Ray and Moth finish each other's sentences. They've been together since they were teenagers. And it's a remarkable love story as well as many other things.
Just listening to both of you this morning, it sounds like you got on incredibly well making this.
We're pretending. We're actors. Oh, no, sorry, yes, we did. That's right.
Yes, remember that?
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's only two of us. You know, yeah, if you don't get on, we've really been in trouble.
Yeah.
Gillian Anderson and Jason Isaacs, thank you both so much.
Thanks a lot.
And by the way, the Salt Path film starring Gillian and Jason will be in cinemas on tomorrow week, the 30th of May, the end of May, imagine, this time next week.